stages, for it's all to run. It has to go through the shaking, the beating, and the pressing. And just like the Allah, some of you may have felt like you go through the shaking, the beating, and the pressing. You went through all of that for your oil to flow. Now your greater is coming. If it had not been for the shaking, I never would have been ready for the making, no. If it had not been for the beating, I would have never knew how anointed I would be, oh yeah. If it had not been for the pressing, I wouldn't be able to walk into my destiny. He's preparing me, preparing me, preparing me for greater. I feel a shaking in the spirit. I feel a beating in the spirit. Oh, I feel a pressing in the spirit. Preparing me for greater. I feel a shaking in the spirit. Oh, I feel a beating in the spirit. Oh yeah, I feel a pressing.
Yeah. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you at. Listen, this song right now, just what you heard, it spoke a prophetic right immediately. Just the words that came out of her mouth was a prophetic. I hope you caught it. And what I'm asking you to do right now, wherever you're at, no matter where you're at, speak, encourage yourself, decree and declare that your greater is coming, and start speaking the things, the areas that you want your greater to come in, because God is moving. The song was placed out this morning for you to realize where you're at this point in time. The teachings have came forth. The testimonies have came forth. It has given you the opportunity to know that your shaking was to break you for a greater season, that everything that you have went through, it may have been intentional to get you to the place where you are. Your Redeemer comes, your Healer comes, your prosperity comes. I decree and declare this morning that your greater you get into a place where you start decreeing and declaring over, prophesying over yourself, prophesying instead of talking about the situation. Talk to the situation. We spoke about moving yesterday. Hallelujah. Moving mountains. God, instead of you being a part of that mountain, God, just know that God has already moved you from some mountains in your life. So you start claiming them. Start decreeing them and start declaring it. Start seeing where you're not where you were yesterday. You're not where you were the day before, because if you are in the presence of the Lord, you are moving. You are moving. I want you to understand that. You are moving. If you heard the word of God yesterday, you would have gotten it. You would have, this song this morning would be moving you right now in the name of Jesus. You would have caught on. The light bulb would have came on. You would have just been raising your hand in the air, just telling God, thank you for witnessing to me this morning. Thank you for giving me for the knowing that I can prophesy over myself. And I'm just elated. I'm telling you right now that the song just moved me when it came on. I never know what to expect. But one thing I can expect, because I trust the Lord and I believe in him and my faith is in him, that when he shows up, that something great is going to take place. And this morning, he reminded me that I can prophetically speak that my greater is coming and add the attachment to it. So I don't know who else felt it. I don't know who else caught it. But if you are in the same vehicle that God is in right now, then you should have received it. You should have received it. You should start applying it into your life. It does not matter where you're at. You can be in South Africa. You can be in Nigeria, Canada, Fiji, Egypt, wherever. You can be there right here in the United States of America. The beauty is that we are in the presence of the Lord. Do not pay attention. Pay attention to what God says to you. Pay attention to what the Spirit downloads into to different people. Apostle Temple is the person that controls this boy. Apparently, God downpoured that into his spirit this morning for him to play that. And you all need to catch what God is saying. In the name of Jesus, catch it. In the name of Jesus. Good morning, Mother Jackson. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Mother Jackson, come on and bring us in prayer. Hallelujah.
Good morning, each and everyone, in the name of Jesus. But first, I give honor to Jesus Christ, who's the head of my life, and to Apostle Spencer, and to First Lady, the Teacher Spencer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, I just come thanking you. I thank you for another brand new day, God. I thank you for life itself in the name of Jesus. So we just thank you this morning, God. We thank you for everything that you're doing, even right now, in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you. We thank you, God, because you're so good to us, God. You're so merciful, God, in the name of Jesus, God. You're so merciful, God, and loving and kind in the name of Jesus. God, we come to praise you this morning, God. We come to magnify your name. We come to lift you up like never before, God. So we say thank you, God. We thank you for even the roof of our head, even the breath that you gave us to breathe. How do all of us say, God, this morning, God? We realize somebody didn't make it this morning, God. But since you gave us another opportunity of us say, God, another opportunity of us say, hi, to call on your name, God, like never before, hi. Yeah, Lord, God, we thank you, God. We thank you, God. Lord, God, don't let us take anything for granted, God. Lord, but give you the praise and the magnify your holy name, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, because you're healing even right now, God. We thank you, God, right now. God, that you're delivering right now. We thank you, God. God, that you're setting us free right now in the name of Jesus, God. In the name of Jesus, God, we just thank you, God. We thank you so much, huh? That's all we have in our spirit, God, is a thank you. Get on, Moshe, God, this morning, God. Oh, God, we thank you for our spouses this morning, God. We thank you for what you're doing, Lord, Moshe. Oh, God, we thank you for raising me in turn, Lord, Moshe. Holy man, Lord, Moshe, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, God, did not. He had to call on your name. It's about getting the morning. It's about shining. It's about Sunday. So we thank you, God. Yes, we thank you for the shake. All about shake. The shake doesn't feel good, God, but we thank you for it. All about shake, God. In the name of Jesus. All about shake. God, we just found families up to you today, God. Oh, let your perfect will be done. Oh, not our will, Lord, but your will be done in the name of Jesus. So we thank you, God. We lift up every leader this morning. Hey, Lord, we lift them up to you, Lord. We lift them up to you, God, in the name of Jesus. God, let us continue to pray for one of each other, God. Oh, God, created us a clean heart and renew that right spirit within us, God, in the name of Jesus, God. We have so much to thank you for, God. The things that you did and didn't have to do it, high. In the name of God, we thank you for that, too. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for your day that bread is this morning, God. In the name of God, we thank you. The love of you, God. We thank you, yes, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the precious. Hand of the most, and the precious Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. 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 How many of you on this line truly can believe that greater is coming in your life? How many of you truly believe that? Or is it just a myth to you? Is it something that gets said to say because it's the church lingo? Or is it something that you truly believe? I want to go back to something that I said before. I said the teachings have came forth, the testimonies have came forth that has given you the understanding, wisdom has came forth, knowledge, understanding, letting you know. Listen, let me say this. Jesus went through things that in the natural, none of us can withstand without God. But I want to sit and say to you on today that some of us go through some fighting times, and those times are so bad and they're so hurtful, they're so painful that you feel like that you're not going to make it. But see, that's the beauty of it. When you get into the presence of the Lord and you realize your faith is in the Lord, and you realize that there are some different things that you have to go through. The shaking comes because it wants to clean you up. The making comes. It wants to get you out of your mess. We have to go through these things. Jesus went through these things, but this is it. When Jesus went through everything that he went through, Scripture says he never said a word.
And I want to sit and say to us today, we get into a place where we complain, we complain, we say what we're not going to do, we say what we won't do, we don't see exactly that sometimes or the most of the time that God is trying to clean us up, that different things. We know that Satan asked God to sift. God told Satan, you can sift my, you can go ahead and you can sift my servant Job. And God gave approval to that. Peter was about to be sifted. Listen, we are no different. We are no different. See, one thing about Apostle Temple said yesterday, God, he's not going to struggle and he's not going to deal with any type of mess. But when you get yourself into a place and you realize that greater, then you realize that the cause, you realize that the motives that were behind different things is to make you greater. Job 22 and 28. I like the King James Version. It says, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. And I want to sit and say this. I didn't find this scripture until, I want to say last year, Apostle Temple shared a teaching with me. And when I saw it, I saw the scripture, I immediately grabbed hold to it because God was showing me the authority and the power that he was giving me. I took it personal. Sometimes when God shares things with me, I realize that he's saying this is what you have the authority to do. And just as I have the authority to do it, so do you. And as that song was playing this morning, it reminded me that we have the authority, we, you, I, no matter where you're at. And I'm going to give the scripture again. It's Job 22:28. It says, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. And see, this scripture is in the 28th verse of Job. Well, we already know the story of Job. We don't have to sit and go back through that because some of us in our modern day times, we can sit and relate to it. Our story is not the same, but we can relate to it. But we have to understand in God's eyes, Job was an honorable man. That means that he wasn't coming with the junk in his trunk. That means he wasn't coming in a place that he needed to repent and ask God for unforgiveness, but to take the unforgiveness out of his heart, the selfishness, the backstabbing or whatever. He was in a place where God was like, this is my faithful servant. You can do whatever, but he's not going to blaspheme me. He's not going to come up against me. And in Job's story, God had to straighten Job sometime. But see, Job was able to realize that. I'm only speaking for Job. I can't speak for Job. Let me go back. And it is my opinion that Job realized that, okay, well, yes, I did go through these things, and in my time of my weariness, I may have spoke out the side of my neck, but I thank my Father for being there to immediately correct me. And I'm going back to the greater is coming. In order for you to get to that greater, or for you to recognize that that greater is coming, you are going to have to go through some things to go through. But if your faith, as we spoke about yesterday, if your faith is in God, as small as a mustard seed. And Apostle Temple said it's just a grain. I said I'm going to go and look for one because I'm that person. I'm going to keep it with me as a reminder of what I can do because of my faith that's in God. And throughout the time of Job, his faith was in God. I can't say that. So when it came to this scripture, and it says that you can decree a thing. Basically, I'm going to tell you what the scripture said to me, that I had the power, I have the voice, I have the authority to decree and declare something, and it was going to come to pass. Why? because of my shaking? Why? Because of my breaking. Why? Because of my perseverance. Why? Because I refuse to stop, going to stop moving. Because of no matter what the situation is, I have already passed it in some way, shape, or form. And now I'm to the place yesterday. Let me know that now you need to acknowledge that you have passed through some storms, that you have moved some mountains, that you have been in a place where you just felt like that you couldn't make it. But because of your obedience, because of your faith, because of you allowing to let the unforgiveness come out of your heart, I have now set you aside, set you apart, and I'm doing a new thing in you. I'm doing a new work in you. And in that newness, I realize that my greater is coming. I realize that the things, the promises that God has gave to me, I'm talking about what he has spoken to me, is right on the horizon. All I need to do is keep on moving. I keep telling you all, in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare a complete, a wholeness, my body to be completely healed. What has hindered me from birth, I decree and declare that soon and very soon that it shall be lifted. But in the meantime, I'm constantly decreeing and declaring. I'm not asking for anything. I am declaring. I am making bold statements that they shall come to, that it shall come to pass. Why? Because I believe. Why? Because I realize that I can't do anything, but God can do everything. I realize that I can't hold on and harbor into old things, the different things that people, when you sit back and you look over the scriptures, it is so important for us to get into the scriptures. Don't go by what I get up here every Monday through Friday and tell you. It is important for you to study thyself, approve you are, and then you can rightly divide the word of God. You don't have to sit and worry about the next person. When a person get up to sit and tell you what you already understand. And not only that, there's areas where scriptures just become alive in your life because you can sit and relate to them. No, you are not that character, but you can relate. So what it does to me, it puts me in a timeline. I'm not God. I don't know the time. But when I say it puts me in a timeline, it lets me know you on track. You where you're supposed to be. Yes, you changed from this and now you're here. You are parallel to this. No, their story is not your story, but God deemed them faithful. So you at this point in time, I'm talking about me. At this point in time, this is where God has you at this time, because this is where I'm reading, this is where I'm studying. And I'm telling you, when you study the word of God, scriptures just come up and pop up in your face and a light bulb goes on. But I want to sit and say to you all today, before I turn it over to Minister Chiquita, if it had not been for the shaking and the breaking, where would I be? Let me tell you where I would be. I would be dead and gone. If it wasn't for me realizing that what was going on in my life, Satan may have nothing to do with it. It was all my Father, because he loved me so much, because he sees, like David did the things that he did. But what does the word say? David had a heart after God. His heart was after God's heart. It was like God's heart. If it wasn't for me being taught that I needed to take accountability for my actions, my responsibility. Let's go back to David. And in Psalm 51, when David cried out to the Lord for him to forgive him, creating him a clean heart and ask for his mercy, David had been walking around without the acknowledgement for almost a complete year. And in my study, it said he had, it had already, his, when he had the sin with Bathsheba, it had been almost a whole year before he acknowledged his sins and asked God to create in him a clean heart, to renew him, to continue to look at his sin. If it had not been for God sending me where he wanted me to go, sending me in a place that I felt was foreign, I knew nothing about apostolic faith. I knew nothing about it. But I'm going to sit and tell you this. Hadn't it been for God, me having faith in him, having me going through trials and tribulations that some people wouldn't be able to even stand, sickness that wrecks over your body, you don't even know where your next breath comes. But God, if it had not been for me going through the different things that I have been through, the shaking and the breaking would have broken me. It would have placed me, put me in, it's been times that I've laid in my bed and said, God, I cannot allow somebody to just fully take over me. Take me, Father. I refuse in the name of Jesus, but I'm saying to you, but God, when you realize that greater is coming, your whole mindset, your whole mentality. Remember yesterday in the teachings, you may remember, you may not. Apostle Simple Temple said the doubts when that come in, that's the mentality of Satan. That's the mentality that Satan wants us to walk around with, letting us know that we can't do this, we won't do this. And I'm sitting and telling you today, do not allow him to make you think that your greater is not coming. You need to continue to persevere. You need to continue to push on. You need to continue to use your mouth. Bless, let the blessings of the Lord come through your mouth instead of the cursing your own self. Sickness, speaking sick, keep continuously speaking sickness and poverty and diseases, whatever it is, mental illness, speaking conviction over your life, all type of things over your life. Realize who you are in God and realize that he wants you to be in a greater place. He wants you to be fulfilled, have a life of fulfillment. What did he tell Joshua? If you study my words day and night, you will have a life of fulfillment. He listen. Pay attention to what God is telling you in these days, in this hour. I'm not going to say season. I'm telling you now, pay attention because he is speaking. He is giving you testimony after testimony. He has exposed, Apostle Temple week before last came to us naked, meaning withholding nothing, putting it all out there. How many pastors, preachers, teachers, apostles, bishops, evangelists, whoever is going to get out and tell you exactly what's going on or what has happened in their past? But he realized that greater was coming. He realized, so it did not matter. Nothing got in his way. Nothing moved him out of the presence of the Lord. And the times that he did, he got back up and he continued to fight again because he realized that what God has planned for us, and that is a future for us to have great things, not for us to sit and live in poverty, not for us to be wrecked with disease and not do anything about it, for us to walk around with unforgiveness. If you got unforgiveness in your heart, that means that you have hatred. I'm going to say it just like it is. That means that you still operate. You are operating under the spirit of witchcraft because the scripture says if you can't forgive your ever, then I can't forgive you. That's from God. If you cannot forgive others, then I cannot forgive you. So that means that God does not walk around. He does everything in spirit and truth, and he's not going to sit all day and worry, evangelist, I didn't forgive you for this. He's moving. He's moving because it's ever people out there. in a place that's trying to get their striving, to get to their greater. And that's where you and I need to be. We need to get up and stop with the pity party. We need to do the things God gives us explicit instructions for the last 2 weeks. If you have been taking notes and you are going over your notes, there are explicit instructions in those notes. It's telling you from point A to point B how to get to C. All you have to do is get in the presence of the Lord, not just get there, stay there. Stay there so you can get to your greater. A couple of months ago, we were placed in a car. We were placed in a car, and all we need to do is just sit there. Sit there and allow the driver to get you there. That means if you're sitting there, you are in the presence of who? You are in the presence of my Father. You are in the presence of him. You are in the right place, knowing that everything that you are doing, you are on track of doing everything that you're supposed to. You are in the will of our Father. So if you are in the will of our Father, why wouldn't greater? Why wouldn't greater be coming to you? Because that's why we were created. We were created to give God, for God to be glorified through our actions. We were created for that. Come on in, Minister Chiquita.
Amen, Evangelist. And once again, good morning, saints. We as a people have to know that Apostle spoke, he taught us this before, that faith is an action word. And once we do the praying and we seek in God's presence and we being in the presence of God, we must act on the things that we're praying for. We must steadfast and ask for his help and ask for him, his guidance, and seek his face and things in existence. But what are we doing to help facilitate those things to fruition? We are praying for good health, and I'm speaking of myself, and I learned just last week certain foods that I cannot stomach, I have to change my diet. Now, what would it be for me to continue to eat those food and let my health deteriorate? I'll be out of the presence of God. See, how can I pray for good health and not walk in alignment with the things that I should be doing and I'm asking for? See, me, you, everyone on the line, have to get into alignment for the things that we are asking for. We just can't pray and seek God's face and not do the work. You got to do the work and decree and declare, then get up and do the action work, do the footwork, do the necessary studying, and do whatever it is that you're trying to do, whatever it is that you're praying for. You got to do the work for it. You just can't be idle by. If you're sick, change your diet. If you want good finances, you're asking and decreeing good finances, you need to save, get you a financial plan, get you a budget. If you want to go back to school, you want to get a better education, you want to be higher educated, go and enroll in a school. Take the action that you need for your wish, for you, whatever you're opening your mouth and you're decreeing and declaring to come for fruition. And this is something that I had to learn for myself, because I will open my mouth, ask God, give me this, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, I need this. But then it wouldn't come to fruition because I figured out it was me. It was me. I wanted my health to be good. I'm eating pork chops. I ain't got no business eating pork chops or fried chicken. I want my finances to be good. I want money to occur, but I got bad spending habits. These are the things that I had to overcome. These are the things that God brought me through. These are the things that I prayed for, but I had to do the work. I had to get out of myself and get into a kingdom mindset of the things of God that he had in place for me. And that is part of the kingdom series. We declare the creed, but we got to put forth the action, put forth the work, do the work. Do the things that God have us to do. Pray, fast, commune, do the community work. Do the things that you do in your life first. Take care of home first, yourself first. speak those things. Take care of your home. Do those things that God will have you to do in your home. Take care of your church. Take care of your home. Take care of your church. Take care of your work. Take care of the things that God have you in the order where God have you to do. But you must put forth the work. You must do the work in these things. It's just not God alone. You can pray and pray and pray, but what are you doing to help facilitate the things that you want in your life? It's something truly that I had to learn the hard way, because I couldn't understand why I was being blocked in certain areas in my life. I wasn't having no growth spiritually. I wasn't having growth financially. I wasn't even having any growth mentally. I was literally having mind battles because I could not figure out what it was I was doing. I was praying to God and then being in other places I had no business, filling my spirit up with things I had no business being in. How can I be balanced? It's not. You cannot do that tipping on the tightrope. You have to keep your mind on God, stay in God, pray in God, and do the work to get you in the place that you need to be. Back to you, Evangelist.
Praise the Lord. One thing I want to say as we go back, go into that basically greater, is that God is everything that we need. According to 2 Peter 1 and 3, God's power provides everything we need to enjoy a great and godly life. And this is why it is so important for us to have that personal relationship. That's why it's so important for us to have the faith in God, the trust in God, the believing in God. I'm not saying belief, B-E-L-I-E-F, because people believe they change. Today you could be a Muslim, today you could be an Efa, and then back tomorrow a Christian. But when you have that pure personal relationship with God and realize that when you go through the different things that you're going through, that he's right there by you. Scripture says that, if I'm not mistaken, in Psalm 16:8, says that I'm not moved because God is right here next to me. So when you're going through the shaking, when you're going through the breaking, because of that relationship that you have already developed with God, and knowing that he will never leave you nor forsake you, knowing that, because scripture also says that he is your refuge. You have a refuge in God. You have a refuge in him. You know, one thing we know about God, we can be close to God as we want to be, because he is no respecter of persons. And if one person can have a close, intimate relationship with him, as Job did, then so can you. So can I, because he's not a respecter of person. It's how much do you want it? It's how much do you, that you want to, what do you want to change about your life? We know that God requires us to live holy. So what is it about you that you want to hold on to, or what is it that you want to let go? Because the relationship is there. The offer is there. It's a song say, come to Jesus right now. You can come, knowing that you can have a life of fulfillment. Jesus already went to the cross. He already took the criticism. He's already took the stripes. He was pierced. All of these things was done for him, for you and I to have greater. But he went through it. So what would make us think that we don't have to go through it? But the difference between him and me is that we as a people, we complain about those different things, but Jesus didn't say a word. Before Apostle Temple got off the phone yesterday, he said nothing, and nobody could separate him from Christ. That means that's the mentality that Jesus had. Jesus already knew. His faith was in God. He already knew the plan that God had for us. He already knew that God was something new, a change. God loved us so much that he wants us to live a life of fulfillment as it is in heaven. He wants us to know those things. And this is why it is so important for you to learn the word of God, to have that personal relationship. So sometimes it was spoken yesterday too. Sometimes we have to remind. We have to use the words of God to remind. that this is okay. I understand I'm going through this, but I do understand this, that even though I'm going through this, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Yes, I'm going through a hard time. Yes, I'm going through trials and tribulations, but listen, I'm in it for the long haul. I'm inside the car. I'm riding, and I'm just sitting back. I'm sitting back because I know that I'm still moving. That's the thing. You're still moving towards your greater. You're still moving. There are obstacles, but you have the ability. You have the ability to move those obstacles because of the faith that you have in God, because of the trust that you have in God. All of that comes with the personal relationship. You know, with us going to church, that does not necessarily make us close to God. The church is within you. The church is what you make a conscious decision to do. Going back to David, he had to ask God to create in him a clean heart. That accountability had to take forth. You can be inside the sanctuary. I'm speaking for myself. I was in the sanctuary praising God, falling out, speaking in tongues, and still knew that I had unforgiveness in my heart. Unforgiveness. I popped on the scene of ABM, and God started moving in me, and I was fooling myself and saying, oh, yeah, I forgive this person. It was one day I was talking to First Lady on the phone dealing with a situation. A job situation that turned into something else. And she said, you know, you haven't gotten over that yet. But in my mind, I had gotten over it. But when a situation came up or something came up, it immediately came back to the forefront. And the same old feeling came right back up. I can't say my greater. Then I couldn't say my greater was coming because I was still harboring. I was still in a place of harboring. See, we have things that hide. We have things that hide to make us feel like things are a certain way. But that's where you got to know that you deep down rooted in the word of God. That's where you got to read this word of God and let the scriptures come into you. That's when you have to come to accountability by getting yourself in a mirror and looking. And I don't care if you say mirror, mirror on the wall, whatever it is that you need to say, you need to be saying it. Because the songwriter prophesied this morning that greater is coming. And if you want to be a part of that greater, and we know that if you just look around, God created this earth for us to live in a paradise, beautiful. I don't care what's going on on the ground. Look at his nature. Look at the beauty of the sky, the clouds. Sometimes I look at the clouds, and they be formed so beautiful that I see a whole nother city with a river going through it, because that's where God has me at, because I'm looking. I am striving. My neck is stretched out to reach my greater. And I will sit and tell you this. He has already blessed me. I'm not the same. I don't care what people have to sit and say. I don't care what you got going on. Don't dot my phone. Don't do anything, because I am too. I'm in that car with Apostle Temple. Nobody is going to separate me from the love of God. I had to own that love. I had to earn his trust. I had to earn him believing in me as I believe in him, just like I have to do with him. I had to court him as the Apostle Temple teaches that segment so eloquently, something that needs to be in a book, because people need to understand that you're going to go through some things. Even in a courtship, there are times when you're not on the same page. So what do you have to do? You have to continue to work if that's where your interest is. That's where your true interest is. My true interest is in God, because I realize without him, I am nothing. I realize that he loves us so much that he does have a greater. See, when Satan came in and put his little plan in play, a lot of people, people, and people to this day, they still stay on that line. Because at one point in time, the majority of my grown life, I was on the side with Satan. And we already learned you either doing God's work or you doing Satan's work. You doing God's work or you doing witchcraft. No matter how you want to sit and look at it, there is no lukewarm. But when I decided, when I saw the things, the greater that was in other people, the situations that other people went through, and they was able to stand through the storm. They was able to continue. They took the stripes. They took the nailing. They took the cursing. They took the beating, the thorns over their head. If they can do it, why can't I? Because remember, God is not a respecter of persons. So why can't I? Why can't I sit and make a conscious decision? God wonderfully admitted and made me while I was in my mother's womb. God, he did the same for them. He did the exact same for them. So why can't I be in that place? Because we don't want to be. We don't want to be in that place. We like to stay in a familiarity place because we get comfortable. We don't want greater. We want to stay right where we're at, comfortable, because we realize if we want greater, we got to go through the storm. We got to go in the fire. We're going to be drugged through the mud. We got to go through the backstabbing. We got to go through the lashes. We got to go through a whole bunch of different things. Well, I'm sitting here to tell you today, you by yourself, because if I got to go through it, I'm going to dress accordingly. And realizing that when I say dress accordingly, I'm putting on the garments that God gives me, ready for warfare, ready to go in, ready to take whatever it is I need to take, because I'm looking for the greater. I'm tired of walking around the same mountain over and over. I'm tired of eating. Yeah, I'm being a little, some people may say fleshy. I'm tired of eating the same food over and over. I'm a seafood person. I want to eat lobster. I want to eat king crab legs. I want to eat those things, and it does not dent my finances. I want to drive big, fancy cars, and I don't have to sit and worry about the repo man coming. I already done that, did that. God has pulled me out of that. When God blessed me with my job, it's during the time God blessed me with my job, when man was telling me I could not work, but he brought people in my life that believed in me and gave me an opportunity, because why? They knew. They know what God has for his people. They know that they have been through the storm. They've been through the trials. They've been through the fire. So why not be my brother and sister keeper? Why not listen to the Lord and give these different people an opportunity? Because greater came into my life. So why would I be so selfish and not allow greater to come into others? And that's what God is all about, isn't it? God is all about sharing and caring. God is all about raising us up to different levels, to different standards. God is about holding us accountable and responsible for the different things that we have done, and then chastising us to let us know, don't do that again. Because where you're at right now, I'm trying to move you from there and take you into another place that requires you to have more responsibility, that requires you to be honest and truthful, that requires you that there may be times where you may slip and you may fall, but when you get to, you still need to be honest. You still need to sit and say, yeah, well, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. Can you imagine when we sit and we have those type of conversations with God, somebody that already knows? Can you imagine that, how much he wants us to have integrity in our lives? Can you imagine? And one thing about me, my integrity was stripped. And I can sit and tell you I fought. I still fight day in and day out to get it to where God wants it to be, no matter what, without shame. Whatever incidents take place, trust and believe, I'm not going to allow it to go down the drain again. Why? Because greater is coming. Greater is coming. Tonight on the women's line, it's Thursday night, we have our vision board where we come up. I cannot wait to share what I where I want God. You hear what I'm saying? Not Evangelist Nita. Where I'm having expectations because of the faith and the trust and the believing that I have in God to take me in a 5-year period. I have, it's in, and guess what? I realized that I can have it. I realized that with God, nothing is impossible. I realized that God, if I ask and I'm in a place, I'm in his will, that I can, it's obtainable. I realized it. I just got to keep self in a place of righteousness. I have to keep self in God's will in order to receive the greater that is coming in my life. Those words spoke to me. They pierced my heart this morning. It said and told me, continue, move on, keep pushing, keep striving, and don't let nothing separate you from me. Just keep on going. Keep on going. And I love the fact that God has his hand on me. I love the fact. And a lot of people sit and say, oh, she said God has his hand. When I say that, it may be your apostle. It may be your first lady. It may be the mother of the church. It may be it's somebody that he may be using in the natural to keep his hands on you, to keep urging you, to keep it moving, to keep it going, to keep it and not to give up. And I said a whole mouthful and took up a whole bunch of time, but I pray that you all receive what I say. And Apostle Temple is on. And good morning, Apostle.
Hey, good morning. I'm not going to be on long, but first of all, I want to give a shout out to our new partners and our new listeners is Kenya. Kenya, I want to give a shout out to Kenya. They are located in Africa. You know, so Kenya is in Africa. So I want to give a shout out to Kenya. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for locking in with the ministry and be a partner. Amen. I decree that we're going to take, well, ADM going to take up the whole Africa in. Amen. Amen. And because it's a word for you all. So we at Kenya, we thank God for you all. We over there in South Africa. We thank God for our partners and listen for South Africa because they've been with us for a while. Amen. And I think we was in Nicaragua. So, you know, we just want to thank God for you all as well and thank you all for picking it up. I want to show you all something real quick, how much time we got. About five. Give me about 3 minutes of your time and because I'm going to show you this and I got to go. Amen. Evangelist was given a scripture pertaining to Job where the Bible declares that it was in Job that was telling them in the 20th chapter somewhere that if you decree a thing and it shall come to pass. Now, for years, I used to contemplate and go back and forth with that scripture because one thing about it, in my studies, I leave the context where it's at. I don't try to interpret it in my life. I get the context and I get the story first, and I make sure I get the whole story or the book, what it's talking about. So in this particular book, we already know about the story of Job and what Job done went through. And, you know, in verse 20, it says, if you decree a thing. Now, you got to understand in verse 20, it's talking about a decree a thing. Job wasn't restored to somewhere down in the 30th chapter, I think the 30th or 40th chapter, when Job was beginning to be restored and getting double for his trouble. But here in chapter 20, it tells here, if you decree a thing, and it shall come to pass. But he wasn't restored till later on. Now, in that time frame, and if you ever been to seminary school or did any type of school, you know these different verses, the different verses, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, they also represent time period. You know, sometimes in between a verse, you're talking about it might be a year gap. It might be a 6-month gap. It might be a 3-week gap. It could be different gaps in these different verses. But it says if you decree a thing. Now, one here, we got decree a thing. Then over here, it talks about further down in the chapter how Job been restored for double to his trouble. Now, it caught me into a place because I was wondering, what if Job decreed a thing, would he been restored then other than waiting to the end? waiting to the end. So watch this. Now I had to dig a little deeper. I had to go into a little bit more theology with this because, you know, he was restored for all he went through, and God gave him double for his trouble. But in verse 20, we talk about declare a thing, decree a thing, and it shall come. What if Job declared a decree then? Would we have a verse, would we have chapter 30s or chapter 40? Will we have the rest of the chapters if Job began to speak some things? Amen. Now, let's go back to how much more time I got. Now, you go back to the beginning of the chapter of Job, and where God gave Satan permission to do what? To test Job. God removed the hedges around Job, and he says, told Satan, you go ahead and do it, but you don't deal, you know, his spirit, you cannot touch. Amen. You cannot kill, you cannot touch. So to test Job, to have Job to do what? Curse him to his what? His faith. Now, when we go back into the scripture that we were talking about on the other day, we were talking about if the Bible declares you speak to the mountain, and a mountain will do what? Be removed. So it tells you have faith. You have faith and you have belief. Job was a man of faith. The Bible declares that. Job was a man of belief. The Bible declared that. But what happened, why Job had to go through that extended period of time? God, watch this. Now, you read your Bible. Let's go a little deeper. God never put an end date or a date or a time period how long Job should go through. God told Satan, you know, okay, I grant you that what you said, for you can have him to curse to his face. You know, curse me or whatever. You know, God granted Satan that, but God never put a time period on how long Job to go through. Now, verse 20, it's talking about if you declare a thing and you decree a thing. But now you go back to the beginning where God gave Satan permission to touch Job. Job passed the first test. Satan went back and God was like, what's going on? He said, well, let me test this. I get this and I get this. He'll curse you to his face. God granted that. But God never told him the time period how long, or told Job the time period how long Job's supposed to stay into this. So to watch this, because Job never declared a thing and he never dealt with the situation, because Job never dealt with the situation. Job always thought that God was doing this situation to him. Job always thought, and Job used context like this, naked I came in, and naked I shall leave. If the Lord give it, and the Lord shall do what? Take it away. So one thing that I learned about Job, he was relationship knowledgeable, but he wasn't spiritual, my God, knowledgeable, understanding what's going on. He understood how to be in a good grace with God. He understood. Sometimes we can get into our own rhythm and we can get into our own thing till we are not realizing that a season changed and we need to do other things to adapt to that season. I believe if Job began to declare and began to speak to that situation, other than begin to feel some type of way about God and what God is doing and not realizing God is not doing, I believe if Job recognized that it was the enemy and he began to rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus and began to declare and began to decree, God never said he would not honor Job's word. He never said he would not honor Job's prayer. He told Satan, do what you got to do, but God never said, I take the blessings away from Job. God allowed Satan to touch the blessing, but Job didn't put up a fight for what he, oh my goodness, as I'm talking good this morning, or just good to me. Job never put up a fight, my God Almighty, for the blessings that God blessed him with. All Job says, if the Lord give it, the Lord will take it away. So Job began to, Job in his understanding that God doing is all this. He ain't realizing that at the end of the day, God is not an Indian giver. God me re-correct that for my native brother and sister. That's just a quotation. My God, God is not going to give you something, and he's not going to take it away. The Bible says, whom I bless, no man. Y'all about to hear me up in here. No man cannot what? Curse. No man cannot take it away. So at the end of the day, if Job knew what we know, I would not believe that Job began to lose different things. What he went through, absolutely. But Job could have put up a fight with that enemy and put up a fight and say, you is a liar, that begin to shake heaven, amen, and begin to restore. I believe that Job stayed into that trial longer than he should, and he stayed in there long enough to get caught up in his feelings, and God had to deal with him. At the end of the day, watch this, the enemy would get tired messing with you, then he will do what? Leave. Scripture says, if you resist the enemy, he's going to do what? Flee. But it did not tell your time frame how long that resistance going to take. But when the Bible declares, when you decree a thing, when you begin to speak to that thing, when you begin to have faith about that mountain, when you begin to speak to that mountain, it says it needs to be moved. What is the moral of your story, you saying, Pastor? Baby, y'all need to get up out of your situation and begin to speak like Mr. Shaquita said. Don't only speak, go and do something about it. You begin to walk by faith and not by sight. Begin to declare. Don't you just sit there and lie there and be walked over and be stepped on. You better speak this thing and say, my God, in the name of Jesus, devil, you is a liar. It's not going to happen. It's not so. Hallelujah. Some of you are staying into a situation longer than you should. God might put you in a test, but he never said that this test is going to take 10 months, 7 months, 4 years, 5 years, 30 days, 60 days. For us as people, because the Bible in Hosea says we are being destroyed for a lack of what? Knowledge. And we are being destroyed. And the enemy understand that the lack of knowledge, because in the darkness in the kingdom, darkness is represent ignorance, is represent not knowing. The enemy feels though you don't know, and what you ignorant to, he feels he got the upper hand on you because you did not know. Job, the enemy knew that Job had a relationship with God. The enemy knew that Job was protected and covered by God. The enemy knew that Job, just as long as that protection was there, and long as Job had his cattle to sacrifice, and long as Job had his family for each one in his family, Job sacrificed cattle unto the Lord for different individuals. So Satan knew, if I can remove this and I can remove that, I can take that brother through the mill wind. Because at the end of the day, that's all that brother know. That brother don't know nothing. Y'all about to hear me this morning. That sister don't know nothing else. That brother don't know nothing else. That man don't know nothing else. And that's why it's very dangerous to have a mindset of unteachable ways, unteachable thoughts, and you nobody can tell you nothing. Nobody can recorrect you. Nobody can redirect you, because your mind becomes an enemy's playground. Your mind becomes an enemy jumping toy. My God, you got to understand, if Job knew, my God Almighty, when he finished that race, and if he know probably what he know now, at the end of the day, we probably wouldn't have a chapter 20. We probably won't have a chapter 50 or chapter 15 or chapter 30, because at the end of the day, that man of God done stood up and looked that devil in his face and said, you cannot have my famine. You cannot have my family. You better loose off of my wife. You start speaking out of my wife. Study my wife. Study you speaking like a foolish woman. Devil, I see you. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. God, bless me. Who is you to come and take and touch what God? Some of you need to stand up and open your mouth. Hallelujah. So we have to understand that at the end of the day, Job, he was knowledgeable with his walk, but he wasn't knowledgeable in anything else. You cannot be so one-track minded or you locked in one area to where you're not realizing what's going on around you. Different seasons calls for different movements and the different operation for you can maintain that season. Back to you, Evangelist.
Praise the Lord. I know you all got that. And I'm Apostle, I am so grateful that you spoke on the fact of you need to be in a place to learn where people, and this is what this platform is doing. He said Job was in one place, but one thing about it that you all can say, those that has been on the line with us, you are being taught. You have been taught how to have a personal relationship with God. You have been taught a lot of different things. You need to stay in that place. And I'm in agreement. We need to start opening our mouths. We need to start opening our mouths because one thing, once you receive what God has for you and you know where you're supposed to be, Satan coming, his job is to kill, steal, and destroy, but you can stand firm in the faith, be bold, do everything with confidence and knowing that God has given you that authority. We once again thank Apostle Temple for coming on and sharing and enlightening us with the true unadulterated words of God. I never would have thought if Job would have took that, didn't start speaking and not being quiet and doing the things that he did, where would he be? What would he have went through? I'm going to tell you right now, I'm getting ready to start speaking. If I see it coming, I'm speaking because I don't want to stay in a season. I don't want to stay in anything longer than I have to be. I want to move on to the prize. I'm looking for greater. So we, again, we Amen. Just thank you all for coming on. You have Amen. Something to say, Apostle?
Oh, just real quick. It's funny, our brothers and sisters in Nigeria, and also Kenya, Amen. God bless you all. You know, many people saying I need to get back into my Bible and stop dealing with the surface. Amen. Really, that's what the Word of God is supposed to do. When God appointed different men to the women of God, you know, regardless of their education, because the Spirit of God, that is an anointing that rides on a person that God anointed to teach or anointed to minister or preach his word, that's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to stir up some hunger inside of you for you to begin to engage into the Word of God deeper. So it should be different things to unveil that you have not came into the place to see, but at the end of the day, amen, it's supposed to bring hunger.
And it's just amazing of the feedback right now how so many people did not realize and really we began to look at scripture of interpretation pertaining to our situation. And a lot of our scripture and the word that we have inside of us, it's been developed by quotations or been developed by other people's interpretation. So a lot of our word that we have in our belly, it came from interpretation or it came from quotation or it came from a place of you understanding a level of word, and you transform that level of word that you understand to fit and make it suitable for your life. And that's when we begin. And because of that, and I'll call it a spiritual stigma in our eyes, we miss a lot of things pertaining to the Word of God, and we begin to run with these quotations that or interpretations that, you know, we missing the whole big picture. Because when you read in the scripture, you read the book of Job, God never told Job how long he's going to be into that. He just told Satan and granted Satan the permission to do as he will. Other words, do what you got to do, you know, and take Job through this test. At the end of the day, God never told Satan or never told the situation that it's going to be for this extended period of time. It never said that. Amen? So what happened was, Satan got tired, And Satan said, you know, Satan says, I can't do it. I got to move on. Because one thing about Satan, when he deals with a successful person, he don't last around a successful person long. Because Satan got to move on because he wasted his time. And one thing about that demon or that spiritual being, it doesn't want to waste his time. It needs to be fed, and it needs something to feed him. So this is why it trips me out when all these people talking about all these devils they fighting and all these spirits they got to deal with. That means the enemy is attracted to somewhere in your life. It has an attraction of you and from you to where it's not wasting its time. If it's keep constantly coming back talking to your mind, if you keep constantly have mind battles, well, you have a mind battle, and because at the end of the day, it'll find the area in your mind that you entertain it. Because if it doesn't have nothing that you entertain, the Bible declares that the enemy will do what? Flee. At the end of the day, now you put that, the Bible already gave an expiration date to the enemy. So when the enemy is tired and he know he couldn't do anything with you, it's going to do what? Flee. But also the Bible gave us its power. Life and death is in the what? Power of the tongue. Book of Ephesians put it as this. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, watch this, princes, power, rules of darkness. Amen. Then Jesus put it as this. He says, my God, then the Bible also declares this. I give you the power to cast out, to heal the sick, to cast out the devil. He said, I give you the power. In the book of Genesis, it put it like this. My God Almighty, when the serpent began to do this conniving stuff, God cursed the serpent, and it says, you shall eat from the heel of the man's heel. In other words, the dust that comes out of the man. In the book of Genesis, God already gave man authority in the Garden of Eden over the serpent, and God already cursed the serpent. So therefore, regardless of what went on, if Job stood up to the serpent and realized that it was the serpent that was in his life, amen, and Job will understood that the serpent will go. I tell people like this, if you don't know what I want you to do, rebuke, my God, rebuke the enemy and begin to say a prayer that, Father, if this is of you, I will go through and I'm going to go through it correctly. But if this is not of you and this is of the enemy, I rebuke the enemy right now in your name, and I put an end to this situation. So now you have a situation to where God says, I want you to, because I'm developing you. Like the songwriter said, if it wasn't for the shaking, if it wasn't for the beating, I would not be where I'm at right now. God would take you through some things that doesn't have nothing to do with the devil to develop who? To develop you. Man, I'm teaching good. I'm teaching so good to where I'm tasting it in my mouth. God would take you things to develop who? He would develop you. But it's some things where God will allow the enemy to do what? Touch you or test you. But even them things, God already, see, one thing, when God gave man the power and authority, God never took it back. I'm going to say that again. God never took back the power and authority that he gave you over the serpent. He never took it back. It's us that operating, or we being ignorant to the things that we're going through. Amen. And that's what it is. We've been ignorant to the things that we're going through. Not the devil. The devil. Some things is your decision. And if you begin to make a better decision, or you get more information inside of you and stop going off of your own understanding, your decision making probably be more better than what you have. Y'all hear me? Then guess what? You don't defeated that giant in your life. You got to understand each giant or each situation in your life, it probably comes with a different technique to finish it. Amen? But so many of us, when God is trying to develop us and God's trying to train us and teach us and put people around you in your life to redirect you and recorrect you, and all we got, oh, I rebuke you, devil. I gave a story how the Lord spoke to me, and I ain't the thing, it was the Lord. I thought it was the devil, and I rebuked it and telling me to shut up. Because why? I'm up here hooping and hollering and preaching, and folks, yeah, thank you, Jesus. And I had all the word of God, I had verses right, I had scriptures right, but the meaning or my context of the interpretation that I'm given pertaining to the verses in the scripture, I was totally wrong. I was wrong. I was jacked up. And folks would just go along with me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Preach, brother. Yes, Lord. And all this kind of stuff. And right then and there, in my younger days, that's why I don't get caught up in all this jumping and shouting that folks do and all this kind of stuff, because you can begin to interpret a situation or the verse and it begins to relate to you and it causes an emotional move that we talk about in our church service and teaching one day pertaining to the amygdala in your brain that controls the emotions and different things that begin to happen, and you begin to have encounters, but they are not true encounters. Because how in the world we shout and run up and down the church and we got all this revelation that God gave us and we have not improved nowhere in our life? No, somebody is playing church. Because one thing about the Holy Ghost, when it gets on you for real, you finna have a change of mindset. You finna come humble. You finna be more submissive. You are not finna go off of all this nonsense and you still having your same old ways. You still doing different conniving stuff, but you go to church, Jesus, sit yourself down for God pull out a switch and give you something to cry for real. Can I tell y'all the truth? My goodness. Amen. So we got to understand that it's deeper. So we got to get out of our interpretation. That's one thing I challenge ADM when they get into the Word of God and they begin to do their studies. Don't put nothing with it. Take the Word for what it is and take this whole story, learn the whole story, learn the Word, learn who you're studying on, amen, before you try to put any interpretation or place it anywhere in your life, because you want to make sure you got the correct context. And you want to make sure you got the correct thing. If not, you'll be having all this stuff that's going on around, and you'll be going to miss so much in the Bible, and you'll be running off of these phrases and interpretation what everybody else is saying, and you don't even see the biggest picture. And the big picture is what God is trying to show us in the Word of God pertaining to who lies? Our life. Back to you, Evangelist.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Listen, God is, he's just so awesome. We thank you, Father, for the teachings that you give us. We thank you for everything that you are pouring out to us to just help us, to move us, and to guide us. That's the beauty of it. When the Holy Spirit, when you know that the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding you. We thank you all. Kenya, we welcome you. We welcome you. We welcome you. Those that stayed over, we thank you. We just thank you that you want to hear what God is saying at this time. We thank you for the obedience to just remain steadfast and movable and just stay in the place where God has you at this time. We bless Apostle Temple for continuously to pour out into our lives, and we will see you back tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Have a wonderful Thursday. Tell somebody about how good God has been to you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Have a beautiful day. Shalom. If it had not been for the beating, I would